Ask the Expert on Lunchtime Live.
And in our Ask the Expert slot today, we are looking at wills. Wexford-based solicitor Susan Murphy from makemywill.ie joins me in studio now. Susan, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Claire. Good to talk to you.
And this is a big one because people think, oh God, it's like a pension. Should I have one? Everybody needs to have a will, don't they?
Oh, well, they do. I mean, if you, as soon as you have property or get a job and get a pension or work benefits with that job, or as soon as you have kids, more importantly, you really should be thinking about making a will at that stage. You can always update it as time goes on and your situations change. There's no problem with updating it, but just to get something in place.
Yeah, I think it's one of those long finger jobs that people just put off.
It is, unfortunately. Yeah, people do tend to put it off. I think it's like the statistics, it's 1 in 4, 1 in 3 Irish adults have a will. So that's not great, really.
All right. Well, let's get people on board. Go to the text where one says, can I make my own will and how do I go about it?
OK, so with that one, I might be slightly biased because it is my line of business myself. But yes, you can make your own will. I think you can get DIY wills in Easons. Maybe you can pick up a copy. But I've been handed DIY wills a number of times over the years in business. And unfortunately, there's a lot of the times there's something wrong with those wills. Like they might be it mightn't be dated. The witnesses might be beneficiaries in the will, which is not allowed. Sometimes I've had a will and there's like the same asset is left to two different people in the will. Or people said, oh, well, Dad made a DIY will, but we can't find it. What do we do? So it ends up being more hassle than it's worth for the sake of a couple of hundred euro. I think just get a bit of legal advice. And then the solicitor will also advise you on the inheritance tax end of it as well. So I just like, I think maybe if you're thinking of making a will, have a first chat, like a consultation with the solicitor, just to see if you can make it yourself or, you know, if you need the legal advice on it.
Just a bit of peace of mind, I suppose. And you just jogged a memory of me there when we were organising our will and then our friends came over for dinner and we were like, by the way, you're going to be witnesses to our wills here now. I'd forgotten all about that. Another texter says, I bought a house with my partner. We're not married, but we did buy the house in both our names. If something happened to me, does the house go to her or do I need it written in a will?
Okay, with that one, so 9 times out of 10 when a couple are buying a house, the solicitor will talk it through with them. But it's usually a joint tenancy. So with a joint tenancy, there's an automatic survivorship applies with that. So if something happens to one of them, the interest, that person's interest would automatically go to the surviving joint tenant. So it is automatic. There wouldn't be the need for the will. But I would say, you know, maybe look into it to see if there might be any inheritance tax consequences, because although they would automatically get the half interest in the house, they might have to pay inheritance tax on that, the value of that half share if they're not married. So just maybe have a chat or a quick call with the solicitor just to see if a will needs to be done or tweaked in such a way. But no, joint tenancy should apply there with that.
Okay. Our solicitor says another, can't find our mother's will. Is there anything we can do?
That is a tricky one. It's like there are ways, or there might be ways around it depending on the circumstances. Like if the solicitor can't find the will, but the solicitor's still practicing and they know that there was a will there in their office and the person, the deceased, didn't change the will. And if they can get affidavits from the people who witnessed the will, you know, there might be a way around it by a court application to prove the will based on a copy of the will. But they would need to probably have a copy of that signed will. But if that listener wants to have a chat with me, that they can contact me after the show. I can talk through with them and see.
Because what happens when you make the will? Your solicitor keeps a copy and you keep a copy. Is that right?
So usually it depends on the solicitor's firm. But the main thing is whoever the executor is that you appoint in the will, the executor will be the person that will administer the estate if something happens. They need to know where the original will is. So often the will would be kept in the solicitor's office in a fireproof safe there. Or sometimes the client would keep the wills at home and like they would hold on to the wills then in a safe or a box at home that they might keep important documents in, like policy documents and birth certs and marriage certs and things like that. But the main thing is that the executor knows where the will is. And then I would always say, like, have a copy somewhere else as well, like with the solicitor if you're holding on to the original.
Yeah, that's really important, isn't it? Because we don't like to talk about these things. If something were to happen to me, this is what should happen, or this is where you can access all my information. But they are really important conversations to have.
It is. And like, a lot of people don't want to have the conversation of the ins and outs of the will, and maybe avoid that because you might change your mind down the line as time goes on. But the main thing, as I say, is just let the executors know where the will is. So like, just say, look, if anything happens to me, that's in this drawer or in this box or wherever, and just go and open it.
Fair enough. It's a sealed envelope. All will be revealed. What should I include in a will, says another? I don't have much to leave, so seems like a bit of a waste.
A lot of people don't realise how much they would be worth if something, God forbid, happened to them. So a lot of people might, they mightn't have a property, but they might have benefits with work, like a pension or a death in service benefit. So even though they mightn't have much in their bank account, if anything did happen, they might have assets there to leave people. So like, it would be important to kind of have a will made. The will doesn't need to specify every single asset. It can be worded in a vague enough way that will cover whatever is there at the time. You could win the lotto next week. So it's just really just like, word it in a way that it'll cover whatever assets are there. If you don't have specific big assets like a property, you know, just keep it simple, keep the wording of it simple. But also what I would say is, people might say you mightn't have much in your bank account, but if you have kids or anything like that, it is important to have a will just so you're covering off trustees and guardians and that kind of thing if anything happened to you.
Yeah, that is a tough decision you have to make as a parent. You have to decide, if anything happens to us, who would look after the children.
That's a tough choice.
Can I leave my child out of a will, says a texter. We haven't spoken for years. I'm separated from his mother and don't want to leave them anything. Can I make sure he doesn't get anything?
You don't have to leave your child something in a will. Now, it depends on the circumstance. You're not obliged to leave a child a share of your estate. But a child who's left out of a will usually be a bit put out by this and try and make a claim against the estate. The way they can do that is they can take what's called a Section 117 application. But basically, they'd have to prove that the parent failed in their moral obligation to look after that child, to set them up in life. So what I'd say to that listener is, if they have now, and I don't know the ages of these people, if we're talking that the child is a grown adult, but the dad, I'm assuming it's the dad, has paid for the education of the child and, you know, clothed them, fed them, sheltered them, and set them up in life, then the child really doesn't have an argument to make, you know, to get a claim.
Okay.
Of the estate. Okay. So he can leave it out. But again, if you're doing that, it's likely there might be an argument to be made. So make sure that your intentions and your wishes are adequately recorded with your solicitor to show where you're going with it.
On the other side of that coin, Owen says, we got married 4 years ago and have one daughter. When we got married, the priest said, make a will. Do we need a will if our assets will just go to our daughter or one of us?
So, yes, I would suggest that they would make a will, because if they don't make a will, they're married, but they have a child underage. A lot of people think that the spouse will get everything if something happens and there isn't a will, whereas the spouse would get 2/3 of the estate and the other 1/3 has to be kept for the child. So if there's a 4-year-old there, like, that 1/3 of your estate has to be kept in trust for that 4-year-old. Now, the spouse would be the trustee, but it can make things awkward, especially if there's a lot of assets in your sole name, that the wife doesn't have free access to the entire estate. So it is, again, a good idea just to make a will. And like, 9 times out of 10, people will just leave their estate, the entire estate, to the spouse. And then if anything happened to the both of them, then to the kids. But I would say, like it's tidier and less upset on people if there's just a will there to leave everything to the spouse.
Right, we're about to run out of time, so I'll just squeeze in this one because I think the answer will be short enough. My only child is both an executor and a beneficiary of my estate. Is that right?
That's
the way it will fall.
That's fine. There's no problem with that. I think a lot of people get confused because they think that the executor can't be a beneficiary. 9 times out of 10, they would be a beneficiary in the will, and it helps because they're more likely to move the estate along. But the witness to the will can't be a beneficiary. So that's where people get a bit mixed up. So if you witness a will, make sure that you're not a beneficiary in the will.
Okay. Well, look, if people want to find out more information, because we're going to have to revisit this. There are so many texts still flying in, and sorry we didn't get to all of them. Hopefully some of Susan's answers have answered some of the questions we didn't get to. You can find out more at makemywill.ie. Solicitor Susan Murphy, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks
to all of you for getting in touch with us on the show today. If you missed anything, you can catch up on newstalk.com or in the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. My team today, Michael Quilligan was on sound. The producers were Dee King and Heather Blackburn. Research was by Ross Leahy and Rory Galvin, and the editor was Mark Simpson. Moncrief is next, and Andrea will be back tomorrow from 12 on Lunchtime Live here on News Talk, which brings an end to my week and a half. So thank you for having me. I've enjoyed my time on air and off air with the team.